Get ready. It's time. Christina, Catherine, Lisa, Amy, and Lauren. Welcome to the Cimarelli Podcast.
Hey, I'm Christina.
I'm Catherine.
I'm Amy.
I'm Lauren.
And we're Cimarelli.
Welcome back to
the Cimarelli Podcast.
Woo! Hey! Woo! We're back.
We're back with episode 169. Hey, today, guys, we're going to be talking about attempting to do that which feels impossible, shall we say, aka moving forward, moving on, letting go of your situationship, or as we called it back in the olden days, a thing.
Oh, I have a thing with this guy.
Yeah, I'm having a thing with this guy. That's like what situationships are now.
People have gotten more. Wow.
People don't say that anymore.
No.
Oh, whoa.
People gotten more scholarly.
With their words. I don't know. Lisa, my whole life, I always remember Lisa being like, what even is a thing? A thing is a thing that like grows on the side of your foot.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. You're right. It's not a term for dating, but it is now. Well, it was, and now it's a situationship. So we're going to just do our best to talk about how we've moved through situationships / if we have and how we moved on. And hopefully it will help you to move on because you deserve it.
Yeah. I feel like everyone probably experiences that at this day and age.
Yeah.
So we've all experienced it. So we're going to give you the best tips we have from our experience. So that's going to be the main topic of today. And we always start the whole episode with our highs and lows. So we're going to start with that.
I'll start.
Okay.
Wow, can you believe it?
I know, I'm a little shook.
I cannot believe it.
I'm a little shook.
Okay, my high is that I actually feel joy in life because
I
stopped going on social media.
Woo! Literally same.
Just saying. If you want joy in life, first step.
Literally.
Love it.
My low is that yesterday I felt like I was getting sick. But today I don't feel sick. Probably because yesterday I just rested all day.
And you didn't go on social media.
Yes, but that was my low.
Wait,
what did you do
without going on social media?
Watch a show?
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
And read. Can
Guys,
you believe it?
Go watch.
I was reading today.
Watching a show?
I didn't even watch that much all day.
Wow.
I watched like a few hours in the whole day.
Lauren.
I've been reading
too.
How much
have you been reading?
I don't know.
Time just flew.
What do you know?
Watching TV without going on social media is a whole different ballgame.
What?
Does that mean? It's just different.
You mean like actually watching the show?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I also took a nap.
Ooh, love that for you.
Not doing five things at once?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me, when
I used to watch TV and watch TikToks at the same time.
Yes, literally.
That's when you know.
Guys, I've
got a real problem.
And it gives me this visual of myself just like covered in blankets and hot pads and just insulated in so tightly. That's what I think of when I think of watching a show and going on my phone. It's like the ultimate avoiding everything.
It gives me Wally. That's what it gives me.
I am just barricaded into myself.
We did a video. I don't know if it's out yet. Of a challenge we did of like not really going on our phones for a week. So that's why we keep talking about that. We're going to do an episode on this too. I think it's coming up in like two or three episodes. So we'll talk more about it there. And it's also in the YouTube video that may or may not be out yet. But that's just to fill you guys in on what's going on.
Can't wait to talk about it.
It's really interesting. Changed our lives. All right, who wants to go next?
You did do your low. Okay. You know, I feel like, as I've said 1,500 times in the last week, my life took about 12 different left turns I wasn't expecting. So, and none of which I'm going to like elaborate on, you know.
Share with the class.
On that. I will say that I just seen some things. That was my low.
You've seen some things.
My low is just seeing some things that I saw. It was a lot to see. And And then my high was, and what I mean is just like some human behavior that I haven't really seen before in the wild.
Mm.
And then
we see.
My high was that I had a really good birthday.
Aww,
so that was
good.
Great. So my life looking up, I think.
That's good.
We hope.
We can only hope. We can only pray about it. But yeah.
I would say my low was when I frantically was trying to bathe my sons by myself. And I went into their room to adjust their baby monitor. And within the span of 30 seconds, one of my sons grabbed the toilet brush out of the bathroom and started brushing all over the ground with the toilet water.
Ew.
That was really cool.
Isn't it clean? Isn't toilet water clean? Yeah. I tell myself since Barrett's drank it.
The little water that's sitting in the bowl?
Yeah, I think it's clean.
No. In the, like, brush bowl.
Ish.
Oh.
Not gosh. The brush
kind
bowl.
Kind of ish.
That has all the, guys. Like...
Okay, I guess
I'm deeply afraid of that.
I guess it depends.
Here's my question for viewers. How do you clean a toilet brush? I don't know.
I don't know.
Should you just get a new one?
What? No.
Soak
you have to
bleach?
Be able to clean it some way. I just can't figure it out.
I don't know.
So anyway, this is my question for you at home. If you figured out this great mystery of life, tell me.
Okay.
Well,
I could probably just YouTube it. But.
Tristan thinks that the toilet is like a big water table, if you guys know what that is.
No.
It's this toy that every millennial has for their child, which is like this literally a table.
Wait, did they not have that
water?
Before?
I don't know. It wasn't as popular as it is now. We never had one.
It's like a basin, but it's colorful. You put toys in it.
They stand there and they like splash in the water. So she thinks the toilet is that.
Oh, no.
So she always goes up to the toilet and starts to splash right before I can grab her. But
oh, my gosh. It is
after
not.
After Barrett drinking out of the toilet, then I'm like, that's not that bad. Just let it go.
I feel like that's honestly very common behavior.
Yeah.
It just really grosses me out. I'm very much a germaphobe. And it just, in my soul, I just given him a bath. And I was like...
It ain't
right. Why?
I cannot. I will have to do some spiritual growth in that field.
It's very difficult.
And then I would say my high.
Because like, what do I have to be optimistic about?
It's not been bad. It's just been a little stressful lately. I keep having these really bad stress dreams. I don't know.
I had a dream where everyone was mean to me on my birthday.
Mine are a little darker than that, but yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Life, you know, there's good things.
That's okay.
Can't think of any. But I'm sure there's good things.
Okay, everyone. Well, join us in praying for Kat.
It's okay.
Everyone join us in prayer.
There's good things. Just been busy lately.
Pray.
We pray to the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Hear it.
Catholics know. Okay, so they know what I'm talking about. Everyone else doesn't know what I'm talking about. I don't think anyone else does that. Maybe some other people do that. I don't know. Let's see. My low is that I'm having the old insomnia.
Ooh.
And it's not, it's not insomnia if your kids wake you up. So it's not that. My kids are sleeping, but I'm just like, bleh. But my high is that I'm working on my plans to fix it.
I love it.
Because I think it's just the classic chronic stress.
Oh, yeah. The chronic stress
chronic
will get
guilt,
you.
Chronic stress.
Not the chronic guilt.
I think it's just that classic that's been going on for years. So I'm working on a plan to fix it from the inside out.
I love that.
I have an in-depth plan that I have written down.
Oh, I love
that
it.
I am working
Listen,
on.
Listen, that only happens to me when I'm really stressed. So.
I am done with it. So I'm going to do that.
The biggest thing, though, is every time when I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a while, I always pray a rosary and then I fall asleep after it. So it could help. I don't know.
Yeah. I get up and drink chocolate milk because it has protein and the protein helps like your blood sugar or something and then you go back to sleep. Because I always wake up and I'm like,
That's smart.
Like a blood sugar thing or whatever. So I always do that. I have that extra protein milk. So I have chocolate milk and then I'm like, all right, going back to sleep. And then I normally fall back asleep. Yeah. Anyway, that's annoying. But with my plan, it should take a few months. About 4 months, I'm thinking.
Okay.
Wait, to sleep again?
Like to be like not super stressed.
Oh, okay.
Sleeping well,
so
energized.
So is this like a lifestyle revamp?
Got it. Reboot.
Yeah, I did this before in 2000.
Is it a rebrand?
2018? I did this before. So, no, 19. Earlier in 2019.
Oh, yes.
So, I'm going to do it again, but more in depth because I need more this time because I have more on my plate than I did back then. So, we'll see how it goes, but I am dedicated. I cannot live tired.
Yeah, I can't
do
that.
It. Now, guys, I have to tell you, if you want to see all of our full episodes, you've got to join our Patreon. It's linked in the description, patreon.com/Cimarelli. You get every full episode of the Cimarelli podcast, all the past ones. Oh my gosh, you get the past wacky Wednesdays that Lisa would do. Guys, we are posting them for Throwback Thursday on Patreon now, and I'm just shook at some of her old content. It is.
Oh my gosh.
It is a wild ride. We need to post it on our Instagram story to show people what they're missing, but there's a really positive community on our Patreon. It's only $5 a month to get all that extra content, and you get to do Q&As with us on Mondays, and you get to be a part of Lauren's Take in Sister Spotlight. We get the questions from Patreon. So anyway, if you want to join, it's $5 a month, patreon.com/Cimarelli, linked in the description. So let's jump into the topic.
Into the video.
I'm so tired. But it's not that bad. Okay, I've learned from postpartum that there's different levels of sleep deprivation. There's one where you get this like light kind of like, it's like a light hum. And it's kind of like, and you just feel relaxed. And your eyes are just drooping and you just feel relaxed. But then when you get past that level, then it starts to be like painful. Yeah. Then you get past it and then it's like ultimate despair. So I'm hoping we'll just stay at
delirium?
This
delirium? Where's that?
That's probably in this one a little bit. When you get to ultimate despair, probably as well.
Yeah, and then you're just like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, you can get so far. Yeah. But normal, yeah, actually, that's probably in this one, I would say. When it gets, like, painful and then you're not
doing it. You're laughing until you cry.
You're just like, will life ever turn around? But I'm not there. I'm feeling kind of relaxed, so it's actually not that bad. So I'm just like, I'm tired, but I'm upbeat in a way.
In your spirit.
Yeah, so that's good. All right, so. Our main topic is moving on from a situationship. So first, let's define, what is a situationship?
Yeah.
I feel like there's a range, would you say?
Yeah.
There is a big range because I don't know. Commitment is kind of can be on a scale in some ways of like, okay, there's like, because I would think there's like officially dating in a relationship. You know, BF, GF, whatever. That's like committed. And then there's like intentionally dating towards being in a committed relationship, which I think is not a situationship.
Yeah, no.
And then a situationship is probably anything less than that.
Yeah. Like you're dating, but you're not. But and you probably won't.
There's
ever.
No commitment.
Mm. And you're not like intentionally like, oh, we're dating. It's like, oh.
And you probably
it's like you just
like,
fell into it.
It's like you're not
talked about that potentially that you're not going to date.
I feel or like maybe it's
you
like, didn't.
Or you didn't, yeah.
And you're just, you feel it in the pits of your
soul. You hope they were
going
to talk about it, that you were going to date, maybe.
But they never did.
It's like someone who's looking for companionship, but not commitment. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Or they want to have like the benefits of a relationship of like, oh, I have this person that I talk to and like, we like each other, but then you're not actually like, oh, we're like committed to each other.
I feel like there's two types. One is where it's spoken about, where you're like dating but not. And then one is kind of like friends, but you're not. You don't really talk about anything.
Like you said, I'm not looking for anything serious. And then the other one, you never said that, but you're thinking like, is he looking for something serious? Maybe he'll tell me he is. I don't know. I don't want to bring it up. I don't want to scare him away.
I feel like the hallmark is just confusion. Question mark.
Not official and whatever. Okay, so we've all been there.
Yes.
Okay, so why is it so? People talk about this a lot, how sometimes it's more difficult to move on from a situationship than from an actual official relationship you have.
Yes.
Why can it be harder to move on from that than the thing that you like officially committed to, you put maybe months or maybe even years into? Why could it be harder to move on from the situationship?
I think there's multiple layers to that. One is that it never really started and it never really ended. Yeah, it's like in life where you hear of certain situations where someone can't attend a funeral of a loved one for some reason. Something comes up. For some reason, they can't go to the funeral. And it feels like they're sort of robbed of that closure. Mm. And I think that's similar to a situationship of like the person just like stops talking to you or you just kind of drift apart. And it's like, but at one point, maybe there was this really deep, like, emotional chemistry or, like, you told them all this stuff or just it felt like you were really close and then suddenly it's just over and it's, like – or maybe it is sort of a clean ending, but it never really started. So you never really knew what it was. And it's just, like, that feeling of confusion, I think, magnifies it. I also do think that there's this deep part of us as humans that we want to be committed to, like – I know a lot of people think that's wrong because they're like, we're not meant to be monogamous or whatever. I deeply disagree with that.
I think the majority of people think we are.
I think most people would say like we are meant to be like in relationship, in connection with people. And when you're with a person that you can just sense they're not fully both feet in the door or whatever that phrase is, it does sort of ring this thing in the back of your mind of kind of constantly feeling like not good enough or like kind of like rejected the whole time. Where you're like, why am I not good enough that you want to like, which is, that's a lie. You are good enough. It's not you. But I think a lot of times we feel like if I was like a little bit prettier or a little bit more interesting, or if I like did something differently, like what did I do wrong that I'm not good enough for that? So I think it gets to like this core wound of like, why will you not like actually commit to me?
I think there's also a level of like fantasy in it because you're like, oh, well, I just know if we were together, it would be like this. No, it wouldn't. Wouldn't actually. And I just know he would be this and that
and that. He wouldn't be. You actually don't know.
But you project this whole future, this whole like you fill in all these blanks for him because like when you're actually in a relationship with someone, you see all those parts of them, but you never saw those of him. So you fill in the blanks with all these great things. That's so probably not even real of what it will be like.
This is like a dangerous, like perfect storm now that we're saying it all out loud. Because normally I feel like you don't really say this all out loud. What we're actually spelling out, you just think it to yourself, right?
Yeah.
Without realizing, maybe subconsciously.
Yeah.
But this is like creating this thing that you're like, there's excitement, you're on the edge, you don't know what's happening next, you don't know, like you're saying, it's like, if I was a little prettier, would he this, that, and the other thing? So you're like, okay, so I can make myself better. I got, like, maybe tomorrow something will happen. Ooh, maybe this. It's just so in your head, and it is, like, the perfect storm to keep you, like, obsessed.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like obsession, also, feeding that.
Partially,
yikes.
I think it has to do with where you are in your life at the moment.
Because
sometimes you can be like going through a lot, and this person like
is the only light at the end of the tunnel.
They're like the only like happy thing that you're feeling.
Yeah,
and then when they disappear,
it's like an escape.
When they disappear, it's like all the lights just turned off. When you had one little candle going, which was this guy or whatever. Then they disappear and all the lights are off. And then you're like left wandering around a dark cave of despair.
Another thing we mentioned, I put in the notes, was that there can be like gaslighting involved in this from either the other person or from you to yourself. Yes. So like they might be like telling you, oh, it's not like that serious or important. But then actually doing things that make you feel like someone would do that if it was serious or important.
Yes.
And then you are thinking, you're thinking things in your mind maybe that are like kind of serious and important to you.
Like, what if I married him?
Yeah. You might think that. But then you're telling yourself, oh, it wasn't that serious. It's like you thought about marrying him. It's like, oh, but we weren't official. So you like are gaslighting yourself about all the reasons why it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't important, blah, blah, blah. But it was important enough to you to like obsess over 24/7. So like it was important to
you. I feel like it robs you of a certain shall we say sanity? Dignity in a way of like I don't have the dignity of this label, so I don't have the dignity of a breakup and the dignity of all these different things.
Like, that's so true.
You probably didn't because you're accepting so much less than what you deserve, so it's just chipping away at your dignity one step at a time, just like seven dwarfs just mining your dignity away. Because it's like, oh, I'm settling for all these different things every day that I'm with this person. I'm like settling for way less.
I remember for me, there's one out of the many. In our generation, the things.
Not the
situationships, but it was a thing at the time. And I remember one of my first experiences of that just being like, I was obsessed. I liked this guy so much and I thought about him all the time and we hung out and like he was very like we would hold hands, like he was very like spicy. Like I don't know, I feel like we would talk about stuff in a way that was like, I can tell this isn't just a friend. Like it was very clear to me. Like you don't, and he tried to deny it one day and he's like, "Oh, we're just friends." And I was like and I said to him, "Do you hold hands with your guy friends?" And he was like, "Okay, no, you're right." he immediately, but he was trying to like, I don't want to say gaslight, I feel like that sounds strong, but like kind of like convinced me that like, oh, it's not actually, we're not actually dating. Like,
yeah, because if it's not serious, then there's nothing to risk for him.
Yeah, and back to the element of confusion, I didn't really, like, he never confirmed or denied that to my face of, like, I mean, he might have said it at one point, but I remember hearing from his best friend's girlfriend, oh, he, like, really likes you and he talks about you differently than other girls. Uh-oh. And so, I don't know, it was, like, it's just so confusing. Like, I had to sort of put the pieces together based on, like, rumors, things I heard, not, like, an actual, like, confirmation from him.
Ah, so, is rough.
That took me a really long time to get over. That was really sad. I remember I moved away from our town and I was living in, like, Southern California. And I remember, like, he randomly sent me a message on Facebook and was like, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. And I remember I was babysitting and I just cried because I was like, I had missed him too for, like, almost, like, over a year at that point. Mm. But it was so weird because I was like, it's such a weird feeling of, like, why do I miss this person so much that we never even, like, officially dated? And it was such a short thing. Like, why does it impact?
The short things are almost the worst because you feel like you literally just got, like, picked up by a tornado and then just spit back out. And you're like, how did this happen?
And I think what Lauren said, the fantasy thing, is so true. Like, I think it is, like, in your mind, you fill in the blanks of, like, what you wanted this person to be. You're like, but you didn't actually really know them, did you? I don't know. I heard a lot of things about this guy later on that I was like, he would have, like, been really bad. And like, kind of, I feel like I would have been, like, really bad if it would have been a bad situation if I was with him.
Yikes.
So it's interesting how in my mind, though, it was like this big
thing. What? Yikes.
Yikes.
That's just how I talk. Sorry about an introvert. You'd be like, yikes, right? How'd you say it?
No, it's the accent on the
yikes.
Wow.
Yeah, no, that is pretty jarring, though, when you actually figure out who they are.
Oh, my gosh. Like,
oh. If you ever do.
Yeah.
Actually, no, sometimes later, especially with social media, it is funny that sometimes later you can look back and be like, whoa, this person turned out way different than I thought, and you actually can know now. Well, that's somewhat. True. You can't know, but you could learn some.
You can conjecture
some pretty interesting things that you're like, whoa, I did not guess that it's going to go that direction. Mm-hmm. So, social media. Speaking of that,
oh gosh,
that really adds a whole.
Oh my gosh, okay. It does.
Let me just put this out there right off the top. If they watched your story, it means nothing.
Thank you.
It literally means nothing. You. Please don't tell yourself
it's
that.
It's so...
I did it too. I'm just as guilty every single time. You're like, oh, he watched my story.
Or he's, if he liked up your picture.
Me. Well, yeah. Or you could just tell yourself, he misses me, but it's not going to happen. That's why I tell
myself. Or he literally was just watching your story like one of a bunch of other stories.
He might have missed you, but he's not. He's not going to commit to you ever.
Even if he missed you.
But he's still, you're a missable person.
He missed you 1% because why did he not reach out and be like, oh, I miss you.
Want to commit.
I have a phone I can text someone.
He doesn't want to commit to you, but
you know that stories, they just come up next.
Yeah. Sometimes it was an accident. That's happened to me a million times. You know, you're watching a story, you're like, I don't even want to watch this story. Why did I just watch that? Someone's story comes up, you know?
I like Christina's, though.
But I've told myself that before, you know? I've been like, oh, this, like, okay, you know, someone texts you, right?
Mm-hmm. That is different.
Well, maybe he texts you and he didn't talk to you ever again. That's happened so many times. He texts you, he's like, hey, whatever. And then you respond, they never respond.
Oh my gosh. I feel why like that's start the equivalent. Convo?
Oh my gosh, I hated that.
But it's like, you know what? Oh. I think he did miss me. And then he's like, this ain't it.
But this is the worst thing. And I'm just saying this as a PSA because I did this too for a very long time and I regret it. He watched your story and then you're like, ooh, I got to post something else. I got to do a good outfit. I got to do my hair and makeup good and post it. And then it's like, no, girl, no. Stop right there. You deserve more. You deserve more than hoping they'll see you. Why don't they make it so that they'll see you? A priority. Yeah. It like Amy says, it kind of chips away at you. It just makes you feel kind of like just less than, like, don't subscribe to that.
It like runs your life, which I think I'll talk about that later in a point I'm gonna make later on, but it does kind of literally run your life and you like live. It's almost like you're living your life for them because you're like, you're posting all these things for them. You're thinking about
them
all the time.
To where you think they will be.
Like that thing, I mean, I just think about all the young women around who are just living their lives for some guy they have a crush on. And it just is sad because it's like you can be doing so many cool things with your time, but it's so hard when they have like that hold on.
Yeah, and he ain't nothing. It's that's all I gotta say. I'm just telling you, he's not as good as you think, I promise. Like,
yeah.
He might be kind of good.
No.
Not what
he's
you think.
Not as good as you think.
See,
Christina.
I can tell myself this guy could be kind of nice, kind of good, but
for
it's just,
someone else,
he's not gonna give me what I'm okay. It's like,
yeah,
it's
so
like
not
a
as
food,
good as you think.
Okay, you know, it's like ice cream. It's like, okay, strawberry ice cream, that could be great.
I love strawberry
ice
cream.
Yeah, but if he's
like,
literally
not for me,
met you and talked to you and gotten to know you and then doesn't really want to commit to you, he's not good for you.
Okay, yeah.
He's not that good.
I'm
not
just saying,
ice cream.
I feel
no.
like I like to take a nuanced take on it for myself a lot.
Brand cereal. Like,
well, he was kind of nice. He was kind of good, but he's just not going to ever give me what I really needed. For some reason, I know everyone like takes a different take on things. I like to have kind of like a good view, which is kind of weird because so many guys are just not that nice. But I like to have like a good view of them somehow and move forward at the same time. I don't know why.
That's good for you.
I don't know why I like doing that. It made me feel better.
My nuanced take, which maybe is what you're saying, but my version is some people are really great person, great guy, great qualities, blah, 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 but they're not good in relationships.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was what I experienced, where it wasn't like, oh, well, he's just strawberry ice cream. Like, no, he would have been good for me based on all these traits, but he's not good in relationships.
Mm. Yes,
because we would be in one.
That is so true.
Yeah, how many times have you heard, I just heard this story the other day, and I've heard this millions of times, told it myself, met this guy, we talked for hours, we connected so deeply, like, we got along so well, and you thought, for sure, that went so well, you got your number, everything, like, this is gonna be something, and then nothing. Like, that's literally the thing that happens all the time. And how do you explain that? Like, I don't think that what you felt was fake. I think if you felt the chemistry, it was there.
Absolutely.
But they just, for whatever reason, they can't be in a relationship. They don't want to be in a relationship. And no matter how much, like, it's not because you're not pretty enough or you're not good enough or you're not worth their time, because you are. It's just, for some reason, they're not able to be in a relationship, and that is not about you. So you need to go find someone who will, because it just, you deserve better than that. It really does ruin your life, because you feel, I don't know, you just subtly feel so bad about yourself.
Yeah, it does end up running your life. It runs your life.
And you're just like waiting around, like, you don't want to make plans. It's like, what if they ask you to hang out?
Yes. Cancel plans.
That's what I want.
Just in case you'd call
and say, meet me behind the mall.
Yeah.
Hey, what's that?
Don't meet him behind the mall.
August by Taylor Swift. Amazing lyrics.
That is so.
Do not meet him behind the mall.
That's so sad.
Yeah, we need to talk about that.
I remember being like afraid to make plans.
Maybe in the end we'll talk
about that. Because I was like, oh, they asked me to hang out last week on Friday. Like, maybe this week they'll ask me to hang out again. No. Make plans on purpose. Don't be free. Just saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? That will make you more desirable. So.
Because they should have asked you last time. When are you free next? They should have already asked you.
I feel like
they would probably make you want to see.
I feel like that's a huge part of this. For a reason, I feel like we should talk about it at the end. I don't know why, but I feel like a huge part of this is that you have to take your dignity back.
Yes.
Like, you really have to take your dignity back.
Yes.
But I feel like that should be. Should we wait for the end, or should we do it now? Wait, the end?
What
should we say our tips first? We got
say.
More tips first.
Oh. Okay.
Let's go through our tips.
Oh, yeah,
then
our tips.
I feel like we need to tell you, we need to give you a pep talk about why you can and you must take your dignity back, because I feel like, I mean, people spend years, maybe even decades,
years
without their dignity,
no.
And you
yes.
can take it back today,
years.
I'm telling
yes.
you, and you
I
need
can remember
to.
Two specific guys, one that I liked for at least 4, if not 5 years, hung out with regularly, talked, saw each other, nothing ever happened. Same one. I thought I was going to marry the other one for 3 years. And then he's like, I don't think God's calling me to be with you. And then he was with someone a couple months later who he ended up marrying. So it's just like, just move on. They're not going to be with you. It's
okay.
Just, it's,
so
ugh,
let's talk about that. Cutting off contact.
Oh.
I did not like to do that.
What?
I live for it.
You liked it. You
I
liked
love it.
Yeah.
I live for it.
Not good at
How
that.
Can you move on?
I would just... take my time.
Are you a different breed?
Okay, that
we are
not.
Yeah, you guys are definitely really similar. When you guys tell me, like, I deleted his number, or whatever, I'm like, how did you?
No, I never delete the number or the text.
Oh, I delete the number and I delete the backup.
Kathy,
you know, like iPhone does, like it'll do like I don't know if it still does this, but in my day it was like you type in that you would you remember the first like four digits and it would type up like recent numbers. I would delete that too because I was like, I'm not texting him.
Delete your number while we're on the phone breaking up and your
text. Oh my gosh.
Could never.
I'll keep it on my laptop just in case.
No.
I need to, but like,
no.
I don't look at it.
Here's the thing though. My experiences were more, I was being dragged around through the mud with someone who kept talking to me and I had to just stop talking to
if
you.
If you have the strength
it's
to
never
do
happening.
That,
and that
do
is
it.
How I moved on. Stop.
No, you're right.
All I would do is yell at myself literally all day for days until I actually
stop.
Literally, I say, stop it. I would be sitting
in
my
car.
Mirror, be like, oh, blah, blah. And I'd be like, stop. He doesn't care.
That
you're
is good.
Never going to be with him. It's never, ever going to happen. But the only, but okay,
I think we
the
should
thing
make a song
is,
about this. Ooh. This would be a really good song.
You have to actually know in your heart that it's never going to happen to get to this point.
How are you going to know that?
Because
that's so hard.
It's obvious.
It is obvious.
But in the moment, you're like delusionalizing yourself.
That's what I'm saying.
You have to get
out
of fantasy land.
You play out the movie until enough of your dignity has been chipped away that you're like, this man will never be with me. I am being an idiot speaking to him. Stop. And
you
gotta
bring yourself to rock bottom. Maybe picture your wedding right now. Maybe that will help.
No.
Like,
I have a tip.
You're like, why did I do that?
I have a real tip.
No, it's
and then
not
you're
the
like,
wedding,
that was so
it's
dumb.
The aftermath.
No. I have a real tip of something that worked for me.
It's true.
I was the best. I honestly was probably on my high horse about how good I was about cutting someone off. I would do a whole ceremony. I remember like I would take everything they gave me and I would say, and I would try to do it with peace and love, but like I'd be like, thank you for the time. Throw in the trash. And then I'd be like, I would delete their number and I would write a poem or write a letter. I had a whole like method. But there was this one guy, the last person that I really liked before I met Max, that I just couldn't like stop myself. And I remember it was like every 6 weeks for like 3 months after, I kept just being like, I just missed him so much. I literally thought I was going insane and I couldn't stop reaching out. And every time he would respond, but in such a short way that made me feel even worse. Like I could tell he wasn't interested and I just couldn't stop myself. So one day I wrote out a text right after he did respond and was like kind of short. And I felt just like such a piece of crap. I was like, oh, I feel so bad about myself. I shouldn't have texted him. It just made it worse. I wrote out a whole message to myself in that moment and I saved it in my notes. And I was like, listen, do not talk. Basically what you're saying in probably a more gentle way, but I was like,
get your dignity.
He's not going to be with you. He doesn't want to be with you.
Yes.
If you reach out to him, you're going to feel bad. Like you're not going to feel good about yourself and it's not going to make anything better. Like I was basically saying like, don't do it. This is from the sane part of you. When you're in that moment, don't reach out to them. It's not going to lead anywhere good. And I would go back and read that. I think I finally was able to stop reaching out to him after like a couple times, literally every 6 weeks. So bad.
Listen, if you delete the number, then you can't reach out to them.
But I memorized it
don't memorize it.
I deleted it and put it back in
so But
many
wouldn't
times.
You want to know who it was if they ever texted you again and said, who is this?
It's well, like, so awkward.
I feel like it's fun to say who is this.
No, because you know.
It's dumb.
If you delete their number, you know what it is.
Then why are you deleting it?
No. I knew that it was like blank, 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 blank. I knew like the first six. Like the area code in the first three. But I wouldn't let myself look at the last four. So then if they did text me, I'm like, oh, I know who this is. And you know their texting style. You were obsessed with them. You know it's from
But
them.
What if like a year in the future?
Then who cares? Too late. No.
Listen.
You've moved on.
No, I feel like that's
a
good policy.
No, it's nice to say, hey, who is this? You moved on. Then.
Okay. I think the idea of like having like a ceremony, basically, like that is like how we work as humans. Like we have all these different things throughout the day that are like routines and things that like tell our brain like, oh, it's time for bed. It's time to get up. It's time to this, time to that. We put on our exercise clothes and we're like, we're exercising. We put on our pajamas. We're like, we're relaxing, whatever. And I think there's probably some like science behind that. I don't know what the heck. I feel like I've read that before. Who knows? And it's like when you have like ceremonies for things, I think it really does help your mind like be like, okay, this chapter over.
Yes.
Let's start
a new
chapter. But I think we don't do that. We just are like, oh, I'm just gonna, I mean, what do people normally do?
Well, we keep like, the door open because we think they're gonna come back.
Which is fine.
I will close it. 9.99999 times, they are never gonna come back. And you're probably not in the 0.00001% when that actually works.
Well, and if they come
very
back,
uncommon.
It's very unlikely that they have changed that much.
Yeah. But you know, I think, and even to your point, like beyond that, going back to like funerals or weddings or birthdays, it's like we need an event to mark up, like mark the passage of time, mark the coming of age. Like you need something to tell your brain, yeah. like this is
new
over.
Chapter.
For me, like I remember with the one guy that it was like, I thought I was going to marry him. And it was like over a couple of years of us kind of coming and going of just talking. And like, I don't know. I remember I was like, every time we were together, he wanted to take a picture. And I was just like, why are we always taking pictures? Like, does he think this is going to be something too? And I remember the day that I was finally like, this is not going to be anything. And I just was like, I'm going to delete all the pictures and I'm going to delete them from recently deleted too. Like, that was big for me because it was like it was a physical thing of like, I'm telling myself, no, you're not going to be with this person. It's not going to happen. Clearly, he's literally been in your life for 3 years and he doesn't want to be with you. Like, that's not going to happen at that point.
Also, I feel like it's really good to, because my problem is I go a little too far to where I'm like, oh, it never happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like.
And then what? You don't move.
Right.
What's the
I, like,
consequences?
I move on, but I also don't move on. I move on for like a few months and then it hits me later.
I feel like men do that a lot.
Yeah.
They very quickly like shut things out and pretend because they're so good at like repressing things. And then I think it hits them later and they're
like,
oh my God.
Okay.
No, that's literally, yes. And then I'm like, oh, I'm actually sad.
One of my friends said this, and I think this is so true that like you and your exes or whatever, there's like this invisible rope that's tied to you and like, when you take a step away, when you're like literally it happens, you're like, oh, I'm feeling really good. Like, I actually don't miss them as much anymore. They text you. It's like they can just feel this little tug like months down the road.
Let me just tell you, I have situationed, as we shall call it in this moment, with the most dismissive of men ever that they will never text you again.
Mm. Oh, I have to say, me too.
You are never going to hear from them again. They're not going to come back to your door. They're not like literally a year will pass.
I liked some very dismissive men in my
day. And they will never speak to you again. And you just know it in your heart. You're like,
And it's like,
we're never going to speak.
He is never going to speak again. He just shut his mouth and he's just walking away.
Yes.
But then I've also had the opposite. The ones who like can't help it. Which is me. That's me. I feel like you need to identify what type of person you are. And this is what we're, I think these specifically go with your attachment style, which is like dismissive, avoidant, anxious, preoccupied, whatever, or fearful, avoidant slash disorganized. We've talked about this a little bit before, but you should go look that up. It is like life changing, so helpful when it comes to you have a crush on someone, you're dating someone, you're married. Like this helps my marriage all the time. It's just your friendships, with your parents, with your siblings. It literally helps with every relationship, learning that about yourself. But knowing, like, are you the type who's going to shut things down so fast, but then you're, like, not going to feel anything, and then it's going to, like, backfire on you, and you're like, oh my gosh, I have to process all this stuff. Are you the type who's going to be like, okay, I'm shutting the door, I'm walking away, and then you want to process it in, like, a good way, you know? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going to be like, I can't close the door. I can't do it.
A man. I'm realizing.
It's not a man.
No, I'm only comfortable feeling anger.
I just think
it.
I think
no
it's more.
Sadness.
I think that's more
I
common.
Literally, yes.
In the way men
I process
are like
things like a man
told not
would
to.
In that way. Mm. Of like, I can only feel anger. I forget it. Pretend it doesn't happen. I'm done. I'm moving forward.
And then you remember
don't
a few months later, right?
And then
did
I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sad. Oops.
Also, there was one time, one of the many, many situationships that I was in that I like really, really liked this guy and I was really sad. And Christina and Lisa actually were like, you shouldn't be with him. He's crazy. And I was like, oh, fine. So I cut it off. But I was like, I just really want to be with him though. And I just don't feel like not being with him in this moment. And it lasted me a long time. So I remember writing a letter and being like, okay, I put it under my bed and I was like, if I still feel the same way in a year, I'll give him the letter. And the year did
That's
come
nice.
And I was still really sad, but I did actually really miss him still. But I had this piece of like, he's not the right person. So sometimes it just takes sometimes you need to give yourself like a later date, like, okay, I really want to reach out to them today, but I know it's not a good idea. Let me just give myself like a month or like even a week, whatever you can tell yourself to like just, it's kind of like when you're running and you're like, I'm just going to run to that goalpost. Okay, I'm going to run to that like car. Like you keep yourself going by just making these little mile markers along the way.
I was
going
to say something about that I think is a key that you may have not thought of. Maybe this will like trick your brain and help you out. That you can completely shut the door and take your dignity back and be like, this is over. But if you're scared of like, you don't want to do that because you don't want it to actually be over because you're like, well, what if he reaches back out to me? You can do that and the person can still reach back out to you. Yeah. You could still actually even have something in the future if they were like growing and changing as a person and things were working out. Like you saying, I'm not going to obsess over them and think about them all the time and do all this stuff doesn't actually mean you could never be with them again. It feels like mm-hmm. the opposite. It feels like, but I want to be with him later. So I should just keep the door open and keep like obsessing and whatever. But that's not how it really is. Like if you could say, I'm moving on and I'm going to, I don't know, focus on something else in life or some other guy, whatever the heck. And the door is not actually fully shut all the time. Yeah. And I feel like you have a better chance. Okay, think about this. If you were talking to some guy, but it was like kind of there, but not quite. And then he completely shut the door on you and he went off and like focused on his life. It was like growing and changing as a person. And then you saw him, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I really want to talk to him now more, right? Right. Okay.
Yeah.
More than if he didn't do that. Right.
Oh, and you're so like, oh, you're flipping. Okay.
You're exactly. There's this one guy and I saw him like years later and I was like, oh my gosh, you are literally the exact same as like 6 or 7 years ago. Mm. And it hit me like, whoa, my life, if I was with you, would be not so good. So what I'm saying is then you see someone else and you're like, wow, you are here in your life now. That is so cool. So for you, if you're still just like, you want to like trick your brain because you don't want to actually be like, I'm done with him. But you're like, okay, I'm just going to move on with my life. Or maybe you don't even say move on because it's like too much for you.
What about just like move forward?
I'm just going to move forward with my life. Just some people are like me, okay? I want to move forward and just grow as a person.
No, you relate to her, listener. If you relate to me, don't listen to that.
If you relate to me,
you are delusional. Stop.
I tell you, a delusion for me has helped me move forward. Whereas for you, I can tell, don't feed the delusion, right? Don't do it. Don't do it. For me, it's actually helped me do a lot of things.
Okay, that's
but
great.
I think you need to figure out what type you are. You have to figure out what you are.
Yes.
Or else.
Yeah. I mean, I did that a few times with people, but it was the ones where it lasted for like years of just kind of like continuing to talk. And like that did happen a few times and it was just too painful. I couldn't do it anymore.
The biggest thing is like you got to also, there's a lot of factors that play into something hurting you that you don't realize. That is a huge deal to getting over someone in this
way. That's so true.
Way.
That's
a huge deal. Like,
let's talk about that. Like the core wounds and stuff that they're triggering.
So like
you
could be so hung up on somebody and it could be absolutely nothing about them.
Yes.
Like, and if you are not solving the underlying issue that you're actually upset about in your deepest subconscious heart of hearts, you're not
going to
move on. So like the things that you could be upset about is you're not processing the rejection and it's really hurting you. And you're like, you can't get like your mind around being rejected.
Oh.
And you think that if you could just win them over, it would prove something about yourself.
You have a deep wound over being rejected.
Yes.
So just the fact that you've been rejected has really triggered that deep wound in you. Mm. And it's coming up and you're like, oh my gosh, and you're fixating on this person. But really what's happening is you are very much hurt by your deep wound about rejection.
Yes.
There's also things like a deep wound about being like alone and you feel very lonely in your life.
Yes.
And this person made you feel less lonely.
Mm.
So what could you do instead of this if it was lonely, for instance? Maybe you should really work on strengthening your relationships with your family and your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that can really help with, and yourself, I have to say, and yourself.
Yes.
Because often when we feel lonely, it's because we ignore ourselves, we ignore our emotions. Like I said this before, like if my friend was telling me like, oh, I had a really rough day, I'd be like, really, what happened? But to ourselves, we'll often be like, oh, I had a rough day. Ignore. Let's listen to a podcast right now. Ignore. I don't care you had a rough day. Don't want to hear about it. Don't talk about it. I do not want to think about that right now. You would never say that to your friend. Like your friend calls you, you're like, ignore, I don't want to hear about it. You wouldn't do that. But we do it to ourselves. And it's kind of like cruel. I think it feels cruel, but we don't realize.
Yeah.
Another big one would be you feel very insignificant in your life. And this person paying any attention to you made you feel like
so significant.
You were special.
Yeah, and it's not bad to feel special.
We all want to feel like we are a special, significant human being because we are.
And this especially happens if it's one of those people that like hates everyone and criticizes everything.
Oh my gosh, but they like you.
Oh, and they're like, oh, but you're so smart. Oh, you're not like that.
That will get you.
And it's not even about them. It's just that you're like, wow, they hate everyone, but they like me. Well, they just hate everyone. So that's dumb.
Yeah. But like, there's such a healing honesty when you can actually get down to those parts and be like, wow, he made me feel so special. And that's like a good thing.
And I want to feel special.
I
want to
feel special and I'll feel special again. He's not the only person or only thing that makes you feel special. Or sometimes I've had this problem a lot. It's like you're so focused on getting the prize of being in a relationship in a way, or like this label or this thing is going to tell everyone else something about you.
Because that means you were maybe good enough.
Chosen.
Look at me. I'm good enough that I'm good enough to have someone choose me.
There is a thing in society.
It means I'm valuable.
Of like people love to talk about relationships. They love to talk about love. They love. And when you don't have a lot of those things to talk about, they don't really like want to talk about other things as much, which is fine. But it's just like you kind of can feel like that.
Our relationship, so, our world is like built around.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's like sometimes you're like, oh, I wanted this prize more than I wanted this guy. And I'm really actually sad that I'm not getting that validation or that thing that I wanted. I'm not necessarily sad that I'm not getting this guy because I know that being in a relationship with this man would be literally horrifying. But like, I'm sad now because I had all this hope that I was finally gonna get this thing that I really wanted. And I'm so disappointed. And I actually am afraid that it's never going to happen in general. So then I'm gonna like basically be here forever, but no person's gonna come along and like save you in that way.
Your it's deep like, core fears of being alone.
Yes, your dignity is just being stripped away and your self-confidence is being lowered by being in the situation. And that makes you even like feel it compounds all these other wounds.
Thanks for listening to the Cimarelli podcast. To hear the rest of this episode, join our Patreon at patreon.com/Cimarelli, where we post every episode in full. You can also watch all of our past seasons and Patreon-only episodes when you become a patron.
You've been listening to the Cimarelli podcast. Follow Cimarelli on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. You can also find Cimarelli on Facebook and Instagram.